we are on to rep number 3. We are just reading some discourse in the Bible. And now we're going to go to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to have Kadaja read it. And we're going to go through the skill. Russ, recognize we've already done that part. Then we're going to understand how does it shape their view of God. And then we are going to sift through it all. So a little bit of background for this right here. The Israelites, I'm just reading what I wrote down. The Israelites just agreed to the terms of the covenant partnership with God. Here are the terms of the covenant agreement. So basically, it's like they're signing it. This is the contract. It's like, do y'all agree to this? Do y'all agree to be my covenant people? And I'm actually going to read some relevant Bible verses to give us just, I think, context that's very helpful. So Exodus 19, verses, I think, 9 and 10, or 5 through 8, something like that. It's Exodus 19, 5 through 8. Yep. And so they read, as soon as I find it, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant," the terms of the agreement, "and then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So God is saying this to Moses. "So Moses went back down and summoned the elders of the people and set them before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people responded together, 'We will do everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. So they said, "We're going to do it, God." And then here are the terms of the agreement. So go ahead.
All right. Exodus chapter 20. "And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, 'Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die.' Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning.' The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was." Verse 22. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell the Israelites this: you have seen for yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven. Do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourselves gods of silver or gods of gold. Make an altar of earth for me and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, your sheep and goats and your cattle. Wherever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. If you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it. And do not go up to my altar on steps, or your private parts will be exposed."
Okay. So we'll go to understanding. Who is the author?
All righty. So the author is Moses.
Mm-hmm.
We could say Moses, but yeah. Who is the audience? The children of Israel,
mm-hmm.
or the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
See any logical connector words?
Probably didn't see them. I don't think you typically won't see them in law. Therefore, you typically won't see connector words in.
Okay. So just go to the summary.
Before you go to the summary, did you notice?
I see indentations.
Not just the indentations, but could you tell when did it go from prose to narrative to prose? Could you catch that, or did you feel it when you were reading it?
Yes. When verse 18 is verse 18 narrative?
Yep.
Yeah.
When the people saw the thunder and the smoke.
Yeah, it's like they're telling about what happened.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went back to instruction in verse 22.
Yep, absolutely. So that'll happen right on you. You won't even notice it. Mm-hmm. And will it make the end of the world? No, but it's good to know that this was a bit of discourse inside of a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a systematic telling of something inside of a story.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah.
Why is it indented? Why is there indentation? Is it because that's the commandment? It's just all.
I don't really know. I was really trying to figure it out because this might be poetry. I don't know, or it could just be because these are the Ten Commandments. It was hard for me to figure it out.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know.
Like, why is this?
And didn't. And no, that's a good. That's a good question. But if you were to summarize this, what did you just read just now?
Basically, like you said, they had gotten into a covenant with the Lord, the Israelites, and he just gave them the terms of the agreement. Mm-hmm. Like this is what they were to abide by in order to be in right relationship with Yahweh.
Yep.
So, yeah, these are the Ten Commandments, and, I don't really have any.
That's fine.
I guess summarizing what it was about.
Yeah, it was the Ten Commandments and then some more. I kind of forget about those afterwards, but they're right there. All right, so how would this information have shaped the audience's view of God?
I think they were terrified. In verse 19, they said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen. But look here, don't have God speak to us or we're going to die." That's just what it is. So they didn't even really, they're like, okay, we'll talk to you, Moses. You know, you go up on the mountain, because they saw the smoke and heard the trumpet and everything. And so they were kind of terrified.
Were they terrified of just God, or were they terrified of what he said?
That's a good question.
Well, it says immediately after they saw the thunder, lightning, and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, that's when they trembled in fear.
So his presence, he himself, were afraid. Well, they were afraid of that.
But, I mean, what he spoke to them, I mean, that's connected to him.
To him.
So these are his words. So I would think it would probably be a mix of both.
It's a mix of both. I would say the same thing. They were terrified. Yeah. I think that's an accurate description. I love how you put that. They were terrified.
Yeah.
So this shaped their view of God. They were terrified. So what does that say? I guess unpack that.
So I think they just got to see just how powerful this God is and how holy he is. Because Moses kind of explains it, like, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think all of this was done so that they could have a right view of God.
Yes.
And so they saw this, they saw the smoke, heard the trumpet, all of that, got his words. And they're like, hold up. I am a sinful person. And Moses, you can talk to the Lord and,
For us.
So I think they just got to see God for who he is, and they wanted, they should revere him. So that's kind of my thoughts. What you got? Mm. You got something, Adrian?
No, I thought that was all good. I really was looking at that line, so that the fear of God will be with you mm-hmm. to keep you from sinning.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we know in Proverbs that it talks about the fear of God being the beginning of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And what if the fear of God is with me, I'm going to continue to do what he says to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to think that this is a joke, especially yeah. after I've seen thunder and lightning and trumpets smoke. And smoke.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is a whole movie out here.
Yeah.
This is a production. God is a whole production.
That's beautiful.
It's, yeah. So even going to verse 22, where it says, tell the Israelites this, this is what God, the Lord said to Moses, you have seen for yourself that I have spoken to you from heaven. I would say, therefore, yeah. it's not there, but
great
I will
point.
Yeah. therefore,
great point.
Do
great
not
point.
Make any gods to be alongside me because I am set apart.
Yep. Yeah.
So don't make for yourself gods of silver or gods of gold, because you have seen the real true God. Mm-hmm. You don't need to make anything that needs to come alongside me. I've shown you this. Therefore, you know, you don't need to respond in this way. Respond by not sinning against me, and respond by actually obeying my words.
Which makes sense why he talks about the altar
yes.
in the very next verse.
That's what I was like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah. Make an altar of earth for me.
Mm-hmm.
So don't make a god as something that's comparable to me, mm-hmm. but you can make an altar as a remembrance, to put your sacrifices on,
mm-hmm.
To bring, because there's nothing that can compare to me.
Yes.
But when... Because we just read not long ago about the offerings that were being given up daily mm-hmm. and the type of offerings that it had to be. It had to be the best. It had to be a one-year-old, is it sheep, lamb?
One of those two.
Mm-hmm. One of the two. Mm-hmm. And it had to be the best grain and the best flour. Mm-hmm. And so even though, you know, we can't, even though gold and silver are nice things, don't create an image. Because you've seen me, you've seen, mm-hmm. experienced me. Mm-hmm. Even if you haven't seen me all the way, you've experienced some part of me, and you know I can't be compared to something that you can be. That's something that you can make with your hands.
Can't recreate that. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Now sifting through all that was described, what was described? Do you what is God prescribing? For you right now.
For me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can I say this?
Yeah.
And let me say one thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't say it at the beginning, but. When you read something, God doesn't have to prescribe. You don't have to feel prescribed to anything. Mm-hmm. Right? You can just read the story. And that's an okay thing. Go
yeah.
ahead,
Adrian. I love how God, he knows people, and he knows that people want to do like the things that we want to do. But how he gives us boundaries. And I don't know what it is, why we always feel like we need to go outside of the boundaries. Mm-hmm. But even though we can't use these hands to create these gods, he does give us something that we can use these hands to do in service to him
yep.
as our God.
Yep.
And so I'm like, he's a good God. Amen. Just we just be out here just I don't want to.
Yeah.
Just it don't make no sense.
I don't trust these instructions.
Yeah, I don't trust. Ooh. So yeah, what is prescribed? I mean, still the Ten Commandments, we are to adhere to them. So I would say that I think it's a really good point to take how the Israelites responded.
Mm-hmm.
Like that I need to have the fear of the Lord mm-hmm. to keep me from sinning,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to be so terrified that I'm not willing to go up the mountain.
Him.
Yeah, to talk to the Lord myself. Jesus has, I mean, the veil has been torn, so we can enter in. I can enter in. And so I think just making it a point that, okay, I can go before the Lord myself and talk to him. I don't need Moses to do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to have the same reaction as the people had. Where I remain at a distance when I can draw near. It was something. Oh, okay. Verse 5. Just with seeing the Lord, like how you said, Adrian, God is good. And so He is a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents of the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. God's word is connected to him. And so, like he wants to love, like is a God who loves. And so I just, when I was reading, I'm like, the Lord really, he loves us. Mm-hmm. Like he legit does. And so we can look at this like, oh, these are rules. I can't mess up. I got to abide by them. But it really points to the God that who gave us these commandments. And what does that speak about him and how I need to be in relation of how I need to view him? Mm-hmm. And so it really challenges my view to really challenges to make sure that I have the right view of God. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm just reading to see what else I had. Idolatry. I want to make sure I don't. I know we don't really carve idols like that, but like to bring it present day, like what idols do I have, and to pray about, like do Lord expose any type of idols? Am I trying to make any gods that go alongside of you? Mm-hmm. You know, do I have Jesus and this? Do I have you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like to just be aware. So that kind of, I'm kind of thinking about that. Like, okay.
That's your prescription.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What you thinking, or what you about to say, Adrian?
I was just really liking what you were saying about how these words, these instructions are a reflection of who he is. Which if you're reading through this, it's not just what can and cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
It is who am I listening to? Mm-hmm. So this God is a person who, okay, he's telling me to have a Sabbath. So he thinks that rest is important.
Mm-hmm.
He likes work. He wants us to work because that's 6 days of work. So he does enjoy work, but he also enjoys rest, and he wants us to rest too. All right. This God is telling us not to murder. So he values life. I value life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, you know, putting him against me as far as if I value it, then I'm glad that he values it. I'm just saying that when I look at this, not just as rules to do,
mm-hmm.
and I look at this as, what does this tell me about the person who's given these? Then I feel like it doesn't feel like it's just constricting. Because mm-hmm. I think that's what people hear when they hear rules. They hear
mm-hmm.
constriction. Mm-hmm. Like you're trying to tell me who I can and cannot be or what I can and cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the business of protecting everybody. Don't steal. Don't cheat on your spouse. This is for the community. This is for the family. This is for the individual. I'm looking at the big picture for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I appreciate that going through this now. It's like, yeah, these were rules. But yes, this is the reflection of the heart of our Father.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say one thing is really cool y'all did. Intuitively, many times we can kind of almost tell what's for us and what's not for us. Because both of y'all spent the majority of time on the Ten Commandments part, and you didn't go to the part where, if you make an altar of stone for me, do not build it with dressed stones and defile it. Do not go up the altar on the steps and your private parts may be exposed. You almost kind of intuitively kind of know what.
No, that's not.
But it's good mm-hmm. to even, well, why? The question I would say is, mm-hmm. why did I intuit to stay right here? And then not go to these other parts to get a prescription.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of different reasons for it, but that's just something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Why was my intuition to read through these and go through these and engage in that? As if it almost feels, as you all were talking, as if it engaged you.
Mm-hmm.
Why did that engage you more than the second part engage you? And so that's just something really cool to kind of work through and ask. Last thing I would say for that prescription, what was prescribed to me, which I know I don't have to, but the reverence that they had, I'm like, Lord, help me have that kind of reverence mm-hmm. when I'm interacting with what you are commanding and want us to do.
Yeah.
But actually still approach you. I enjoy the reverence that they had, but what I hate is the the fear of approach. Mm-hmm. Because I think the reverence was great. Like, man, God gave all this thunder and lightning. It's very easy to look at a word and be like, whatever. Mm-hmm. It is very easy to trivialize God. There was no trivialization at that point in time. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able, when I get a prescription, to not trivialize what that was.
Yeah. I was thinking about that too, because I was thinking about generations later, how Israel strayed away or whatever. So I'm like, was the story not told clear enough to the children, the grandchildren? Is because they didn't see it? Did it not have as much weight for them? Because I'm thinking, if this group of people were telling their children and grandchildren, let me tell you about the time that God, we heard God, or we saw God, or we experienced him in this way, that you would think that the children would be like, okay, well. But if you know how sometimes people have to be like, well, seeing is believing. Well, I didn't see it. I didn't feel it. I didn't fear it. And so is that what caused that reverence or that fear to be lost over time? Like, what was it? Because we're reading it now and it's fresh. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, these people were terrified. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we've, you know, if everybody at the table has had that moment where it's like, oh, I was terrified of God at this one time. Mm-hmm. I was like, Lord, you know, stuff was happening. And I'm like, this is Jesus. And he's trying to get my attention.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But what is it that happens that causes that reverence to wane over time?
Yeah. Number of things.
Yeah.
Probably not having it before you. I think of Psalms chapter 1, just keep his words in front of you. Mm-hmm. And I think if we miss out on that, then that's going to help the wane. Yeah. That's just my first thought with it. But I don't know.
If they didn't see it, I just think about it. In my life, if you tell me that something happened, a miracle happened for you, well, I have to intentionally, like, put myself in your place, like, put my thoughts there. Mm-hmm. Or it's very easy to be like, oh, well, that happened to you. That didn't really happen to me yet.
Yeah.
So if it happened thousands of years ago, it's very easy to be like, well, that happened then. And it's not before me right now, but that's why I think the authors would tell us over and over again, remember,
yes.
Remember yes. your God, because it's so easy to forget how quickly we forget.
Yep. Yeah, so. Good stuff. All right, we'll wrap this up on up and we'll move on to the next one.